This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So are we happy we can finally talk about the movie a little bit?
I don't know what I'm going to talk about, so I'll just be giving a bunch of vague...
I want to ask the IMAX question real quick. Mr. Nolan has been filming with IMAX a lot more on this one. Can you talk about what that's been like for you? Obviously, you have, a little experience on the last one.
A little experience, the last one, and also in the Prestige. When we were doing the Prestige, Chris was kind of experimenting with it at that time. Some of the stuff where, have a twin brother and everything like that, we used it. Bloody noisy cameras, you know you've got to do ADR whenever there's the IMAX camera coming out. But, it's going to be a hell of a great looking shot, I mean, it was stunning in the dark night. I remember sitting at the premiere and people just, feeling like they were in it, so it's a lovely piece of machinery.
Could you talk about how much, the percentage of that he's been using on this film?
Oh, no bloody idea. No, ask him about that, I tend to, I'm not an actor who tends to care. I don't ask, is this a close-up, is this a master, is this a wide, what you're doing? If I look up and notice the camera, I'll go, oh, it's a big one today, it must be an IMAX, and that's kind of it for me, because it doesn't affect what I'm doing.
Over the three years since the last movie, you've been asked a lot about making this movie. It's always been about working with Chris again. Was there any doubt in your mind that you'd make another movie together, or was there what was your instinct? You knew this movie was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen for me because I was contracted to do it, so I didn't have any choice. I would have been sued up the yin yang and be on the street and penniless if I hadn't done it. Chris, my understanding was, could have chosen not to do it, but he had always talked about this as being a trilogy, and I think always liked the challenge of the fact that an awful lot of movies fail on the third one. There's some exceptions, but most of the time that's the real tricky one to pull off. And I think that he really likes the challenge of that.
Christian, so you're gonna miss playing Batman after this?
Yeah, of course I will. Yeah, definitely.
You're gonna miss wearing the suit.
For all the kind of discomfort and the heat and the sweat and the headaches and everything from it. When you sit back and watch the movie at the end of the day, you go, "Oh, that's fucking cool." So I will miss that.
Can you talk about Bruce's relationship with Selena in this movie? I mean, we've seen a couple of shots of you guys just talking the stairs and stuff like that, holding hands. So,
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, you really? You think you have you?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some people are seeing things and they don't know what they're looking at.
It's the evil twin.
Mm. Okay. No. It could. No, well, no. It's quite interesting to watch and hear what people think we're doing. And you look and go, that's not what we're doing. But never mind. Let them think that's what we were doing.
Can you tell us a little bit about what is going on with Selena and Bruce and how much does he fall in love with her, that kind of thing?
I'm figuring it all out as I go along, I'm seeing Chris sitting on this shoulder here and Emma Thomas sitting on this shoulder here right now as you're asking the question going, don't say no. I know you're not allowed to answer that one, I think let's leave that one till you see the movie.
Batman's hair seemed a little longer this time. Is there any significance to that?
Yeah, there's a little, significance to it. Certain amount, but we've always had to mess around with every single movie that we've done for the Batman stuff has always had hair that we've had to be able to adapt for different looks throughout, and so the longer you keep it, the more you can do with it. Am I doing a good job at kind of answering the questions but not really giving you shit?
Brilliant. When we transcribe this, we'll be banging our heads.
Can you talk about, does it give you, because this is a trilogy and this is an end for you and for Chris, does that give you the freedom to, you're not leaving off where you're going to have to come back into another film.
Right.
You can really bring an end to the arc of Batman for what you guys are doing.
Yes.
Does it give you the freedom to create a great character arc for him in this movie?
I have no clue about what an audience is going to think about a movie. Thank God I've got someone like Chris who's really great at going, well, no, he represents the audience for us on the set. So for me, I love the character so much, you'd get probably a very bizarre Batman movie, where people go, what the hell, why are we delving so much into his psyche here? And but he is a fascinating character, and then Chris just has to tell me the points at which it's just tedious and boring and he doesn't want to see what I'm doing, you know. And you know, it's great having someone at the helm who he's remarkably confident just going with his gut and not desiring any safety net or anything to fall back on. You know, there's a number of times where I say to him, well, yeah, are you sure you don't want me to give you a few other variants? You know, I can do this one. What if later down track you choose to change this part of the story? Well, in that case, we need to change the domino effect. You know, so you want me to give you, I can give you like 3-4 different ways you can play it. No, I don't want that. I know what I want. That's exactly, you know, the thing that I need. He's very, very, very firm with it. It is a fascinating character. I think there's probably an awful lot more stories that could be told. I quite like the idea of him getting older, you know, and can he do it quite as much anymore? But I feel like, you know, you've got to leave when the going's good. This is when Chris wants to wrap it up, and it's the right time.
You know, speaking of that, and the fact that you are going to miss Batman and Bruce Wayne, are you happy where the story ends with this one? Because, you know, I mean, I ask you at the junket for Dark Knight, if you know how that movie ended, would you want to see Batman redeemed? Not that I'm saying is he redeemed in this film, but are you happy with how Bruce and Batman in this particular film comes to be?
Yeah, very. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good.
Tell us about Batman.
by the third movie, is Batman's drive really still fed by the death of his parents, or has he accepted like a larger responsibility for Gotham that doesn't involve him as much anymore?
Well, to me, he has it all. It's all in there. You know, the thing is, he is still that child, basically. You know, he's put the one thing that I do notice that there's an awful lot in the graphic novels, which we've played with a little bit, is, you know, this whole notion of him genuinely being a playboy versus what we've done, which is a little bit like he sort of performs that, but his heart's not really in it. You know, you know, the eternal problem that Alfred has with watching this guy who has no life, you know, that he's put his entire life on hold because, yeah, he still does. He's got such, you know, fierceness in his mind and in his emotions that he just will not forget the pain of the parent. You know, with most people it's like time heals all wounds, but I think with him it's like no, he doesn't want to forget it, and he wants to maintain that anger that he felt at that injustice, but equally, you know, wants to present this very vacuous, soulless persona to Gotham so that no one hopefully will suspect him. They just think, you know, he's a spoiled bastard. But consequently, in his most intimate moments, he has Alfred, he's got Rachel, and there's not a whole lot there because it's complete arrested development, you know? You know, the recognition that at some point he's got to start living, you know, that he's seriously behind in terms of life and the enjoyment of life, you know, that's all been sacrificed. And at some point, hopefully, you know, it's Alfred's wish, is that he'll start to live again, you know, that of course this tragedy has defined him, but to a degree where he sacrificed everything that most people would consider worth living for in life, you know, and he's going to have to relearn that, you know, far, far too late and embarrassingly late in life.
Do we know how much time has passed? Do we know how much time has passed since the last movie, and is anything from the last movie dealt with in this movie? Because a lot of things, he left a lot of open ends last movie as far as Rachel and as far as
yes.
Like, we haven't really seen how he reacted to
something. There's an awful lot of you know, new discoveries, truths coming out that, you know, and the whole question of, you know, what's the correct thing to do, you know, continue with lies and make people feel good, or have the truth come out and devastate and ruin people's lives. It goes back. Batman Begins and Dark Knight, and deals with an awful lot from both of those movies.
And how much time has passed? Do we know pretty much a couple of years?
It's been I mean, I would say years. I don't know if Chris would want me to say exactly how long, you know, but yeah, it's not the next day.
Oh, okay. We've seen
no,
about Marion.
No, there's quite a change in him. Sorry?
Can you talk about working with Marion and Tom Hardy?
Yeah, you know, it's a real good cast. I worked with Marion really briefly in Public Enemies, and, you know, she's a wonderful, versatile actress so far. The work's been really great with her, with Anne. Likewise, I think, you know, she's doing something very different than most people probably would have seen her do before. And Tom, who I've been working with mostly the last few weeks, you know, he's a real fascinating actor. He's going to be creating some wonderful characters over his career, and he's really doing so with this. He's kind of just gleeful, you know, coming into work every day, and he's got a great character, you know, that he can chew the scenery with in a good way. And he's a real deal. I'm very impressed with him. I'm very impressed with all of the cast in this one.
We've seen a number of photos have hit the net of you fighting Bane.
Right.
Have you seen all those photos hitting the net? And also,
I've seen some of them.
Could you sort of talk about crafting fight scenes with Tom? And
right.
You know, could you talk about making that all work?
You know, we have fantastic stunt guys, Buster Reeves, who's been with us since the first one. And Tom Struthers, and the thing is, you know, this is sort of what we do. We, you know, they kind of work out what they would like to see in the fights, and then Tom and myself come in and bring in the story to the fights, because, you know, a fight which is just a knockdown, everyone punching each other, ceases to really be exciting after a while. You know, you've got to figure a way that you tell a story within the fight, you know, and also that, you know, you can get some very trained fighters who can follow an incredibly fast and furious fight. But I don't know about you guys, you watch UFC, sometimes you go, I don't know what's going on, it looks like a bloody mess, you know. You sometimes have to be able to just look at it with eyes like myself, someone who's not a trained fighter, and understand what's happening. And it's amazing the difference that, you know, between the fantastic stuntmen who come in and do their jobs, and then when we, Tom and I, come in and say, okay, right, I get that, but this is what I've got to be thinking here, so I'm going to do it in this way. And actually seeing a fight that has description and a beginning, middle, and end to it is a wonderful thing. It keeps it so much more entertaining, and means so much more than just, you know, showing off a few martial arts.
Sorry, we're going to have to stop there. I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys, I've got to go jump on a plane. But that was very quick.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
You're not shooting today?
I'm not, no. Oh, okay. No, I'm not running around with Roethlisberger or anybody. Yeah. All right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Take care.
Has Mark called you about another fighter?
No, we haven't spoken anything about it. I've heard that he's been talking with some people about it, but he hasn't spoken with me about it.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.